7:31 now. News Talk 107.9. Neil Larson, along with Julie Mason, and our campaign coverage rolls along, and we're pleased to be joined in studio this morning by Jalene Berger. She is running for the Idaho Legislature in 33B. She's challenging Marco Erickson, the incumbent. And we had Marco in yesterday. Jalene, we want to welcome you into the studio this morning. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great.
Well, good. And tell us, for our audience, which kind of transitions in and out, a lot of people may not know who you are. We know who you are, and you've certainly run before, but introduce yourself for our new listeners.
Okay. Well, the long and short of it is the fact that I was born in Provo, and my parents were going to BYU. My dad got a master's degree in Logan at Utah State, so we moved there. And then he got a job that had us travel all over the nation. So I've lived in Arizona, went to grade school in Austin, Texas. I went to high school in Madison, Wisconsin. That's where I learned to play the flute.
Okay.
And then when I was going to college, I went back to BYU, and my folks were in Virginia. And so I spent the summers in Virginia, and I got to work 3 summers in Washington, D.C., and spent 2 summers working as a typist and a stenographer in those days.
Okay.
With the State Department.
Yeah.
And I also did a little stint with the Internal Revenue Service.
Like that. That's good.
It gave me a good background about the nation and seeing how government works and how extensive it's become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who like work in government and are well-traveled, they're not conservative, but you are very, very conservative. So maybe talk about what shaped and some of the positions that you hold.
Well, you know, what happened was I went back to BYU, met my husband, who whose family I knew in Wisconsin when we lived there. And I took a lot of classes in college from W. Cleon Skousen. I took his beginning Book of Mormon class when he was writing it. I think he wrote each page the night before he gave it to us in class. And when he would talk about the parallels between the Book of Mormon times and today, he would spend a lot of time talking about the things that he had discovered about government. He's famous for writing the book, The 5,000-Year Leap.
Yeah.
And that shows how we, in 200 years of the prosperity of our nation, because of the principles that we followed, were able to progress more than in 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they were still back in the horse and plow and the steel plow and everything. So that was a great experience because he taught us all the principles of good government. And I fell in love with the Founding Fathers and the fact that they had read the great philosophers, Cicero, De Montesquieu, John Locke,
yeah,
Frederick Bastiat. And so I realized that government has to be it has to be founded on good principles, the principles of good government. And so I took as many classes as I could. I took his Old Testament classes, and he would always slide in all the things about government in those religious classes.
Yeah.
It just made me fall in love with the correct principles of government. And we're not following those anymore.
Yeah.
So I just think that we need to get back to them.
That was going to be my question is, I'm sure you've seen since that time a big change in what our government is doing. So if you were to win, serving as a representative, what would you have liked to seen different from the 2026 legislative session? What would you have worked on that potentially our legislators didn't do?
Well, I wouldn't have voted for the Medicaid expansion because, according to the Declaration of Independence, our rights are the purpose of government is to protect our rights, which would be spending money on police and fire and getting roads so we can travel, spending money for the courts, making sure our prosecuting attorney has enough money to be able to prosecute the breakers of the law. Let's see, what else? Anywhere there are limits, and so the Declaration of Independence also says that government get its consent from the people. We're for the people, by the people, and so if we give consent to the government, we can't give to them any permissions that we can't do ourselves. So if I can't steal from my neighbor, even though I see another neighbor who needs something, I can't steal it from one neighbor to give it to the other. I can't give that consent to the government. So the government really does not have authority to redistribute wealth. And that's what I feel like Medicaid expansion is. So I would not have voted for that, for one thing. Going back to last year, I think it was last year, or maybe it was 2024, I would not have voted for the launch bill because it's doing the same thing. And not only is it not doing something that doesn't have authority, but it also is discriminatory since it gives money to only certain career paths. That would have been not good.
I'm looking at your website, by the way, for our listeners. It is Jilene for Idaho, and that's J-I-L-E-N-E, the number 4, Idaho.com. And supports traditional values, eliminate the grocery tax, pro-life. These are just a few of the things that you're interested in. If we go back retroactively with the last legislative session, how would you have navigated that? Because this was probably one of the most troublesome legislative sessions we've had in quite some time, with the, you know, the dollars were tight and the acrimony was high. And it just felt like it was an ugly, messy, tension-filled session. So maybe armchair quarterback the 2026 legislative session.
Well, let's see. There was a bill, HB 660, which would have allowed our law enforcement to be able to find out the immigration status of people when they're arrested. And according to what I read, there were about 15 laws that were proposed that would help us deal with our illegal immigration problem. And none of them were able to be passed. And some of them were even just put in drawers. And I think it was not right that the chairman have – somehow they think that they can put a bill that's passed one chamber into a drawer and not even give it a hearing in the other chamber. And so I was really discouraged with that. Yep. I think we've got an illegal immigration problem. I'd like to be a proponent of legal immigration. I think that we would like to welcome people who would like to come to America, and as they say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Come to America, become Americans. Do as the Americans do. And a lot of the legal immigrants do that, and I think that's good. But the illegal immigrants don't tend to want to do that. So I was disappointed in this session where those 15 bills were not able to be completed. Let's see, there was also something where, I was very happy, though, that we passed 516, I think it was 516 AA by the time it got radiator capped.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that we don't have the unions being able to take taxpayer money. Let's see. What else?
There was a lot. Jilene, I would also like to ask you, unless you have another thought on the legislative session.
I think those are two things I had notes about.
Okay. We interviewed your opponent yesterday, Marco Erickson.
Yes.
And I was commenting to Julie, I thought, I don't know if you could find two more super nice, super likable people running against each other. But I do want to give you an opportunity to contrast yourself with Marco Erickson. I can't imagine you're going to demolish him here. But how would you have voted differently? How would you have functioned different than your opponent would?
Well, I already said, I think if he voted for the Medicaid expansion, I wouldn't have done that. I think the biggest difference between him and myself are the fact that he doesn't follow some of the principles that I know that I've mentioned, where government should be limited. And a lot of times we have a hard time defining those limits. And if you follow the principles that the Founding Fathers set up, it's not hard to know what that limit is. Let me tell you a quick story about Davy Crockett, and maybe you already know it. He was known as the King of the Wild Frontier. We used to sing that song in grade school.
I was hearing that music in my head as you said that.
Yeah. So. But he was a congressman. And when he was in Congress, one of the, if I get this right, and, you know, there's a lot of different iterations of the story. One of the Congress people's passed away. So he left a widow. And so they were worried about their colleague. And so they were about to pass legislation to give taxpayer money to this widow to help her. And he stood on the floor and said, No, he said that is not in authority for the government to take taxpayer money to pay this widow. Yes, we feel sorry for her, and yes, we have our own money. I challenge you all to give money to this widow to help her out through this situation. But it is not within our authority to pass legislation to give the money to her as a government. So that's the limit that I'd like to stay by, is the fact that we cannot take money from other taxpayers and give it to others. We should do it with our own initiative. I purposely give to a lot of charities on my own. I give to the American Family Association. I give to the PINC, P-I-N-C, here locally. Bonnie Champagne and her husband run that. I give to the Idaho Rescue Mission. I give to the Salvation Army. I of course, give to my church. And that's the way we should take care of people. We should be our brother's keeper. And we need to get back to that, and instead of just turning it over to the government. If we turn everything over to the government, pretty soon the government just grows and grows and grows, and there's no stopping place.
Yeah. Okay, we've only got like a minute or two left. Are there any upcoming events that you want to invite people to, cottage meetings, forums, anything like that that you will be attending?
Well, let's see. I am going to Lincoln. It's not a Lincoln Day. There's a fundraiser for people in Boca Estella, so I'm going down to help them with that. And I don't know that this is set up yet, I possibly may have a fundraiser on the 9th of May that I would love to have people come to, and I'll just have to put it on my website because I don't have the details worked out yet.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
No worries. Yeah.
But I'd also like to mention that I'm a proponent of studying the geoengineering with the trails in the sky that are going on. I've studied a lot about that, and I'd like to jump on the bandwagon with that, because you know it's proven with Dane Wigington's research with geoengineeringwatch.org that there's barium and strontium and aluminum, and those are toxic metals that are being sprayed in our skies, and we need to find out more about that. I'm not for that. I don't like breathing that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could just add that, something I'll work on.
Absolutely. Your website, again, is Jilene for Idaho. That's J-I-L-E-N-E, the number 4, Idaho.com. Jilene, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck in these coming weeks.
Yes, thank you very much. And you got to remember.